ESPN Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks, set.
How do you feel, my brothers and sisters? I am feeling exceptionally well. I recognize those persons who are listening and watching and through various platforms. I give kudos to, firstly, our 200-meter athlete, Tania Gaither, who ran 22.67. And then we give kudos to the pocket rocket, Shelly-Ann Fraser, who ran 10.65 seconds. Oh, her best. Unbelievable. And I would just mention that Sarah Parker is the first one who is watching. The one and only Sarah Parker. Well, what are your thoughts, my brothers and sisters? Track and field is about finished. Are you concerned with the cross-country marathons? We have numerous Bahamian athletes who participate around the world. Well, I have to say that Track World is brought to you by Sun Oil Limited, Arawak Homes, Sunshine Insurance, my bestseller book, From Vancouver to Athens, 50 years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition, Vaughn L. Culmer and Associates, and Insurance Brokers Limited. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the pioneers, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about the pioneers. And last week, we had somebody who should have come to the show and didn't come to the show. But now he's not going to come to the show at all. The one person who noticed that we should be talking about the Pioneers Club, the president was none other than Ruzi Gadet. Please tell the world how the Pioneers got started. And we will now take our break, and we will now then continue to talk about the beginning of the Pioneers, ladies and gentlemen.
The Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com, or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
Shell Unleaded improves your fuel economy, giving increased miles per gallon, allowing you to do more of what you really want. Special additives used in Shell Unleaded improve your engine's efficiency. So go further with Shell Unleaded. Venture out to beaches, junkanoo, and festivals, and bring home memories that will last a lifetime. Shell, fueling journeys that matter.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
All black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
The Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. With me is none other than Chanel Ferguson.
Let's start talking about your involvement in terms of the pioneers.
Alpheus, good evening, Bahamas. It's a pleasure to be on Track World with Alpheus Finlayson once again. There's just so much track history bundled into the Pioneer Sporting Club. I think I was just a teenager when I joined the Pioneer.
And I had the opportunity when I came home from either Minnesota or someplace else to meet this young lady with Adam Monroe.
That's right.
Right across from, I forget the name of the people now, where the
National Products.
National Products.
National Products.
And
off Mini Street.
And this person wanted me to come to a club meeting every Sunday afternoon, and I had just come from school, so I was in for that. And then I met this young lady, and talk about yourself, the Pioneers.
Well, at that time, the Pioneers was the track club. There were a couple other track clubs around. Of course, there were the Dynamos.
Yes.
That was Audrey Simonet and Tony. I can't remember the last name.
Yes.
They were good. And then, of course, there was the Bayntown Flyers.
Yes.
Came a little bit later. And but, of course, the Pioneers. Mm-hmm. And when I joined, there were a lot of people from St. Augustine's in
oh,
that
yes.
club. And I met Linda Woodside.
Oh, yes,
we became we became like twins. We became really good friends. She was a high jumper, and I was kind of a jack of all trades.
Well, Chanel, I tried to, I did recruit Linda. And after recruiting Linda, their mother.
Monica.
Monica took everything over. But the father was just there.
Joe.
And then the big boy, the big young man. I'm talking,
Lil Joe. Yeah, Big Joe was the daddy, but Lil Joe was the son. But Lil Joe was bigger than Big Joe.
That's right. And he was somebody who, I think it was, he may have been a javelin thrower or a shot put.
Yeah, something in the throwing, I believe.
Every now, they live around the corner, you know. And he
Hibiscus
is still
Avenue.
There.
Hibiscus
yes,
Avenue.
Hibiscus Avenue. Yeah. Hibiscus Avenue.
And the Pioneers Track Club was like family.
Yes.
It wasn't just a track club where you knew people, but it became like family. Linda's family became like my family.
That's
I spent
right.
a lot of hours mm-hmm. in their house in Hibiscus Avenue. Mommy trusted me to be there. And we just pushed each other. And we wanted the sky. And the Pioneers allow us. We didn't feel like because we were young, we had to sit in the back. We had a voice in
of
the
course.
Pioneers. And I think we didn't need women's liberation then because we just figured we
Oh,
didn't.
You took over.
And we did.
Yeah.
We did. And I eventually became the first woman president
of, course.
Of the Pioneers.
Yes. How did that happen?
I really can't remember, but I'm sure Linda and I, we did our campaigning and our maneuvering, and I think there was a space and
well,
nature.
Being involved in the B3As, I made it a point that if I'm going to be somebody, PR and whatever it is of the B3As, that I was not going to be the Pioneers anymore. That's
I think that probably that probably had something to do with
yes,
it.
Yes.
But I remember that time another young woman, she's your former wife, mm-hmm. I believe, Claudette. And we don't talk about her much in terms of track and field.
Whenever we talk about every now and then, I mention her name.
Yeah. But the reason I'm mentioning her name now is because she was older than we were. She had been to Munich, and she had started that upward movement into the international, sphere, and so without really knowing it at the time, she really inspired us that we could go as far as we wanted to go.
The world, the sky is the limit.
Exactly.
Yes. So I have somebody called. Max Rex, he's watching. I think I know him. And then we're looking at Lucretia Napa, my friend from the Washington area. So thank each and every one of you for listening to the show. So let's talk a little bit. Let's go to the vice president of the Pioneers.
Now, that would have been before my time.
But you had an opportunity to connect.
But of course, I mean, that's Rusi Gaudette. Who doesn't know Rusi Gaudette?
Yes, yes.
And Rusi Gaudette is a walking encyclopedia, a walking history book on sports and on culture, on a number of other things. He's got his finger in on the pulse of
and
what's happening.
He lived right on the side of Doyle Burris. Could you believe that?
That's right. He talked about Doyle, and he talked about Doyle's brother, D'Anza.
D'Anza, yes.
He talked about how Junkanoo started.
Oh, yeah.
And
the Valley Boys.
The Valley Boys,
at
exactly.
17 age, I think, and the same thing with the Pioneers at 17. They broke away from that other group.
What's that? Was that the St. George's?
St. George's,
that's
yes.
That's right.
St. George's, yes, yes.
And I think this is such a deep history. I remember Tommy Robinson had finished his career.
Yes.
But he was this figure that we revered. And I remember, you know, when you run 100 meters, and all of us, of course, were sprinters as well as jumpers, and you sort of you ball your fists so tight. And I remember Tommy telling us, look, when you ball your fist so tight, look at what happens to your muscle. Everything clenches up and becomes, you know, rigid. So he showed us how to apply the pressure of our thumb onto this first finger. I think they call this the index finger.
Yes, yes.
And how you could press that as hard as you wanted to, and it didn't tighten up anything on your arm. And now today, it's gone beyond that, where some people run with all five fingers spread.
Of course, yes.
So that shows a progression. But what it shows with Tommy is that he was very much present. He was very much involved. He was very much a figure that cast a long shadow.
Well, do you know how I met Tommy for the first time?
Tell me.
I went, well, in our churches, it was St. Matthew's, the church at Camp Road.
Oh, St. Margaret's.
St. Margaret's, okay. They were all together. But to go to the christening, and you had to go Sayers Road, and it was raining. Mm-hmm. So what we had to do, right on the side of this house, this lady allowed me to come on a porch. It was raining.
Uh-huh.
So he says, do you know my son? I say, no. He said, it's Tommy Robinson.
Oh, my.
And then later on, they moved from St. Matthew's to St. George's. And Brenda just had a birthday.
Ah.
I was at church in Iran.
Oh, that's one sister that loves her brother. Oh, she loves her brother.
And her a daughter who has always taught.
Teacher.
Yeah, teacher.
Let me jump a little bit, if I may. I remember it was before the Commonwealth Games in Australia, that watershed Commonwealth Games in Australia. Tommy had gone to school with a lady from Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
I think her name was Tai Chi.
Yes. That's specific.
That's right.
That was one of the cases where, how do you put it? Things have changed now, and I leave that like that, because you the same place, they have challenges with the Chinese.
Well, that's right.
Yes.
And but she and Tommy had gone to school together. I don't know if it was Michigan or where, but they were competing at the same time. And Taiwan was becoming an emerging track and field.
Chang or something.
Something like that.
Yes, yes.
And she wrote to Tommy and said, well, you know, send some athletes over. We're having this series of meets in Taiwan, in Taipei and in Taichung. I think those were the two places. And, of course, Tommy sent in my name, Bradley Cooper's name, and Steve Hanna. And Alpheus, this was the longest flight of my life.
How long?
Well, of course, we had to go from Nassau to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a half hour.
Of
so
course,
that's when the big jets were flying here.
Yes.
And then, of course, from Miami to California was another 5 hours.
Yes.
And that was long.
Uh-huh.
But nobody prepared me for 14 hours from Los Angeles.
I do understand that.
To Taiwan.
Yes.
But when the plane landed, Alpheus, this huge monster of a plane landed, And the pilots came out to say, thank you for flying with us. So these little itty-bitty people flying this big plane. I mean, the pilots couldn't be more than like 5 feet, 4 feet, nine or something like that. And they handling this monster of a plane. But it was just something that really broadened our horizons, really, in terms of culture. That was one.
Mm-hmm.
Give you an interesting aspect. The track facilities were excellent, but nothing really prepared us for the toilet facilities.
Oh, okay.
The toilet facilities, of course, you open the door, and you figure you're walking into a regular bathroom with a commode and all the rest of that. But what you found was a shape, a
yes.
hole in the ground. But it's all concrete and continuously running water.
Oh, okay.
Continuously running water. Okay. So whatever you did, it was continuously running away from you. And that was like a culture shock. But the interesting thing about it is, next in the cubicle next to me was this American high jumper. Can't remember her name immediately, but she was tall.
Yeah.
And because she couldn't bend down, because she had to really bend
down.
Okay. Because her knees kept hitting the door.
Uh-huh.
So really, it opened your eyes to that people live differently. Even though people want the same things, people aspire to the same things, the way people do some things, different. And it kind of helped you to be more open-minded about the world and not so insular in your thinking.
Let me talk about, first of all, Tommy Robinson's father. He worked at out west. What's the place out west with all the rich people?
Oh, as far as Lyford Key.
Lyford Key.
Yeah.
And somebody who worked there told us that Tommy's father was very good.
Oh, as an athlete?
As an athlete.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but you don't know those things unless somebody who has been there a long time before to know that.
Well, because we are more oral
yes.
in our history, in our
of
passing
course.
Down.
Of course.
And when some of us move up the scene, other people don't remember because we don't write enough.
So two other things I should say. I worked at where Boston Black used to work. He was the tire man. And I worked with my cousin just opposite, I'm trying to remember where it is now.
What street?
It is a street coming from, you know where Turncrest lived? The only remaining founder of the B3As.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in A.F. Adley's office, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what I am saying is that after Tommy won in what's the name of the place? We're now talking about that because of the Queen.
Oh, in Edinburgh?
Not Edinburgh.
Glasgow?
Glasgow.
But wasn't Scotland somewhere, wasn't it?
No, it is not Scotland. We're talking about that now. I'm talking about how they split up the places in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying Tommy was there by himself,
mm-hmm.
and Mike was
the
saying,
look
at how the Duke, or whoever it is, was watching him.
I heard
and,
that story.
Yeah, that is something else. So I would go from my house in the valley,
uh-huh.
and I would hear the story because it used to come on BBC.
Mm.
You don't hear anything come on BBC anymore. So I have never forgotten that. Let's talk about just a couple of people. Hello? Hello? Okay, let's talk about Pancho Ramming.
Oh, yeah.
I asked Pancho to just listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Pancho.
Well, Pancho, for me, Pancho was in that 1972 Munich Olympic team.
Yes.
And when I was the sitting MP for Fox Hill, I always tried to do something a bit different when it comes to Fox Hill Day, and especially things to do with culture. And I remember that one year I had everything there, my mother's old console TV, anything from way back as far as we could find, things, household things, to make a living room, what an old living room looked like. And we had the community center. I had Fred Ramsey and Reverend Dr. Philip, right, Reverend Dr. Philip Ramsey,
yes,
at the front. And we were encouraging, we were talking, but one of the things I wanted to do was to hear people's stories. And as you know, Pancho is one of the shyest guys
who ever lived.
And so Pancho, if you watching, yes, I did say it. Pancho, if you're listening, always, I did say it.
Pancho always held his head out.
That's right. I won't tell you that joke that Stanley Mitchell talked about Pancho.
I know.
I spoke to a lot of people, and they told us a lot of history about how life was in Foxhill during their time. And I knew that Pancho, unless I called his name, would never say anything. Mm-hmm. So I called his name. I said, tell us something about your time in Munich. And he told me a story that has stayed with me because I find it so interesting that I had not heard it anywhere else. And one of the stories he told was that when the Israeli athletes had been shot at and killed, somebody ran and the door for help. Or one of them ran for safety.
Yes.
And the door that they knocked on was the door of where the Bahamian athletes.
Yes.
And the Bahamian athletes, you know, give this person shelter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hear that story. To me, that is something that's historic, that is interesting, that people don't know. We don't know.
Well, they say that the Trinidadians got all the applaud. And I do know, I think Amos Ferguson may have been in at the same place, and Timmy Barrett was there.
That's right.
Yeah.
My other Pancho Ramsey story is this. I was a schoolgirl at C.I. Gibson. Pancho was one of the coaches. Actually, it was Pancho Ramsey that introduced me to Keith Parker, to tell you the truth. And there were four girls that Pancho put together to make this relay team.
Yes.
Agnes Cooper, I remember. I think Pauline, I can't remember Pauline's last name, a girl from, I think, Christine Barr.
She is in Grand Bahama.
Not that Christine Barr. This was Christine Barr, who was related to the Boxer Barr.
Okay.
Right? They from right the Camp Road area.
Okay.
They were from. And I was from Foxhill. And Pancho put this relay team together. The passes were fantastic. We didn't lose an inch. And that year, C.I. Gibson wiped the map of St. Augustine's, anybody else. These girls from C.I. Gibson, they didn't see us coming. And, of course, Pancho is right there like nothing's happening. He's just so zen, so this. And I was the only girl there that had a starting block.
Well,
because Pancho made sure that we had starting blocks. And it was way ahead of time. And he doesn't blow his own horn.
No,
and so
not at
we
all.
Don't blow his horn for him. People won't know. He was just absolutely fabulous. He was very true to himself. He wasn't pushy, but he knew how to get the best out of you.
Well, I see some family of mine, Thomasina Higgs. They were right to the left of the Higgs people. And you know, just north of that on East Street,
mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting the name of the place now, but he was something else. I don't know if it was Big One or whatever it is, but this was somebody who sold shoes and that kind of thing.
Mm.
Right opposite where you know where Judson Enos' grandfather was?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Right in that era. And Thomasina Higgs has a daughter, a very smart daughter from my good cousin, Clyde Finlayson.
Ah.
May he continue to rest in peace. That's my good cousin, Clyde Finlayson.
God rest his soul.
Yes, that's Tiger's younger brother.
Ah.
And that's what we're talking about. So, could we just take a break now and let's see if anybody want to ask questions or make comments, please?
All black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what we're waiting on then, let's go earn some grocery money.
Shell Unleaded improves your fuel economy, giving increased miles per gallon, allowing you to do more of what you really want. Special additives used in Shell Unleaded improve your engine's efficiency. So go further with Shell Unleaded. Venture out to beaches, junkanoo, and festivals, and bring home memories that will last a lifetime. Shell, fueling journeys that matter.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and I know that the gentle giant, Bradley Cooper, tell us about your participation in the Pioneers Club.
Well, I came in the Pioneers Club around 1975 while I was still in high school, or just came back from Peripheral. And I later went on to become the president of the Pioneer Track and Field Club for a number of years, leading the way and trying to keep the club together. We had a number of athletes that passed through the Pioneer Club. In fact, during those years, the Pioneers was the number one club in the island.
Indeed.
Only other club tried to challenge us was being down Flyers at the time. And then South Beach Striders came around, but we were all always told that we recruited the best set of athletes and steal from everybody else. But it wasn't so. We just did a good recruitment of athletes, and the athletes were well trained. We had persons assisting us like Mr. Parker. We had Pancho Ramming, who was one of our coaches. We had persons like Walter Callender, Jarvis, and them, who all these guys and who worked with us during those years to help the Pioneers grow to what it was to be a powerhouse here in the country. Until a couple of years later on, Rupert and Sydney decided to go their own way, and they started a new club. And that's when the Pioneers began to lose the athletes, because they picked out the best of the other Pioneers and took it with them. And we had trouble getting new recruits in to fill the club. And so that's when the Pioneers went on the back burner. Mm-hmm.
Bradley, I think every now and then about what's Sprinter run in at the Olympics.
What year?
The same year that you went. Walter Callender.
Well, Walter Callender, of course. Oh, Walter. Of course. Walter was Mr. Pioneer, right, Bradley?
But he was something else. Guess what? Yep. He worked where Livingston worked, may have been, right along there. And then I saw him running on the beach. You know, we use the beach. I'm not talking about Tommy Robinson's beach, but I won out west by
Goodman's Bay.
At Goodman's Bay.
And he would run and run and run. And then one time he told me that something wrong. He can't figure out what was happening. And then we found out. He called for me. He called for me. He wanted to see me. And that was just about the time that the team was going someplace in the Caribbean. And Walter said that the doctor said he would have, I think it was 6 months to live. I went to see him. And boy, it was something else. 6 months to live. He died just about on the same day. It is unbelievable.
I remember Walter's illness. He always had something, I think it was stomach, in his stomach,
yes.
Stomach cancer. And he was always, you know, putting ice on his stomach or you know, we knew he was ill. And I remember I was a freshman at the University of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Walter on the phone. And we talked to him. He was in hospital somewhere in Florida. I think maybe
yes.
In Miami.
Yes.
Yeah. And for people like me and Bradley, even though we were the younger ones, people like Bradley, we talking about Walter. We talking about Yawkey Brown, remember?
Yawkey.
Yeah. Yawkey.
And
yeah.
Preacher. Remember
Preacher.
Bradley?
Preacher. Preacher went with you to Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf.
Yes, yes.
Because he worked for the airline.
He worked for the airline, yes. And he's still around.
Derek Cambridge.
Derek Cambridge,
yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then Derek Cambridge's son came along, right, Bradley?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Bradley, you went to Taiwan. You were on that that trip to Taiwan, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Taiwan and Thailand was a very exciting trip for us because it was new to us.
Yes.
We never been in that area before. We never been on such long flights before. But it was an outstanding meet in that we were welcomed by the people of Taiwan and Taipei. And that we had a chance to look around. In fact, that's where we got our first Bahamian uniforms made in Taiwan.
Right.
Taipei.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
For that we wore in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the uniform was made. We didn't have anybody to give us any uniform, nobody to do it. So we went and we spent our money and we had the uniforms made.
That's right. And I think, Bradley, we actually went directly from Taiwan to Australia, didn't we? We didn't come back home.
Yeah, we came back. We went from Taiwan back to San
LA,
Francisco.
I think, yeah, somewhere in California.
San Francisco, and then San Francisco down to LA. And then LA out.
Oh,
that's
something
right.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we stopped in Hawaii going down.
That's right. Honolulu.
Honolulu. And
just
then
let me
stop in Tahiti coming back.
Just let me mention
this. I wanted to stay in Tahiti for a little while, Bradley, but they wouldn't let us.
Just let me mention this. I had a Chinese fella who their parents were, you know, right on by the Tribune across the street.
Mm-hmm.
That was their mm-hmm. people, Chinese. And he came from Honolulu. And let me tell you what was happening at that time. You know the yellow thing that is happening was happening this was about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? His father was from the mainland China.
Oh.
And he said he got to get his children out, and they went to Sacred Heart.
Oh my.
And would you believe this? I met him later, and it was the same thing that was happening. It is just unbelievable. And he came into the room, me and Dawn. I said, "This you, Kinwa?" And he had married to this lady from the place where, how do I put it? Where we have plenty of people from there come to the Bahamas now as maids and everything else.
Oh, the Philippines.
The Philippines. Mm-hmm. And he now is in the Philippines, and they put together their home. That
wonderful.
Was just unbelievable.
But I want to ask Bradley this, or say this to Bradley, and probably spark him a bit of memory lane. Bradley, when we went to Australia, it was a small team. And it's amazing how we inspired each other. Because almost every medal we got was inspired by something that one of us had done the day before or something like that. Why don't you speak to that a bit?
For me, myself, I got inspired by the whole team performance because I got in there one day, competed, I won. The next day, I couldn't walk. And I was hoving around the village, going to therapy and treatment for 2 weeks before the competition. Mm-hmm. And everybody was behind me, and I was behind them. That we can't come all the way down here and do nothing.
That's right.
And then we began to perform. And even on the day that it was competition for me, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I went out there. I with braces on my leg, I competed. After the first or second throw, I took the braces off and say, look, this got to go. And I was inspired by Chanel and Steve to go ahead and just press and see what can happen. And it's similar to what happened in Edmonton, Canada, my first Commonwealth Games.
We tend to forget about that. We remember the new Edmonton we won everything.
Right, that one, Bradley, that was 79. Yeah. Boston Blackie was there on that one.
The one and only.
Yep.
Yes.
And we say, look, nobody win nothing yet. We gotta get something. We walk Bay Street to go on that trip.
You and I did, Bradley. What did we sell?
That's right.
What did we sell?
Trying to sell pins to go there. $10 pins for the Olympic Association. But we did what we had to do, and everybody's legs were just like blown away for them.
Bradley, you talk about taking off your braces off your legs.
Yes.
I had come home from University of Florida where they have a teaching hospital, and I had put braces on my teeth because the teaching hospital, of course, is free. Mm-hmm. And even though I had graduated, I would fly back and forth and the service was still free. Mm-hmm. So just before we went, we were going to Australia and, you know, Taiwan was the first stop, but we were going to the Commonwealth Games. I went to Dr. Nigel Lewis at the time. He had his practice in the Bidco building. And I said, take these braces off my teeth, because I'm going to win the Commonwealth Games gold medal.
Right, yes.
And when I smile, I don't want any braces on my teeth. I said, when I come back, I'll let you put them back on. I never did put them back on, mind you, so I never did get the service finished. But that's the type of resolve we had. Like Bradley said, we hadn't gotten a medal. We were going for those medals. And it was six of us, Bradley, or seven on the team and six medal, or six on the team and five medals. I can't quite remember.
It was eight and seven.
Eight and seven.
Yeah.
And when we came back home, it was something else. That's number one. And number two, the head of the world body wrote a letter to BJ. Mm-hmm. That is unusual, you know?
And something interesting that came out of that for Bradley and for us, and this was the first time, our coach was Keith Parker. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Parker, I mean, if nothing else, he is consummate coach. But at the end of each day's event, there was this room that they had made available, the audio, visual, and all the rest of that. You could watch, you can watch the preliminaries. Mm-hmm. You can look at how you perform in the preliminaries to see what you needed to fix for the next day. Mm-hmm. And I remember Mr. Parker was sitting in there with me. We were watching my qualifying jumps. We're very quiet because the room is pretty dark, so you can't really see who's around you. And when they brought my jump up, we could hear the English and Australian people saying, well, who that is? Where is she? Where does she come from? We were pretty much an unknown entity for the people in that part of the world. But they got to know us afterwards, didn't they, Bradley?
Yeah, because what happened to us while we were training in Australia, we had the British and the Australian people were shooting pictures of our technique. And they used it as a training tool for their countries later on, but we never saw the film at all.
There's one person you didn't mention.
Who's that?
A high jumper?
Stephen Ray.
Unbelievable.
That was like one of those, just like the long jump competition. It was I would go ahead, yeah. The British girl would go ahead, the Australian girl. It was like a tussle right to the end. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Stephen Ray, with him and Milton Ottey from Canada.
From Canada. I wonder if is that the sprinter's brother, or they just...
Milton,
same family, yeah.
Probably same family, yes, you know. Yes. It's a kind of unusual.
You know, plenty of them, plenty of the Jamaicans go to Canada.
Like Ben.
Mm-hmm. Again and again.
But I remember in the Australian newspaper, there was this big picture of Bradley Cooper saying the gentle giant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, inspired a medal. And that's why I was talking about we inspired each other. But in Sydney, Australia at that time, two things happened for us. I had been working for Xerox Bahamas Limited.
Yes.
And Xerox Australia invited the whole Bahamas team for a celebration in Sydney. Remember, Bradley? They took us out on this yacht and they fed us and they gave us a really nice time.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that happened was there was a Bahamian family living in Sydney.
Yes.
Brenda Barry.
Of course.
Dr. Graham Barry and their three daughters. And they invited us to actually stay in their home. And we stayed in their home for maybe about a week, Bradley, about or so?
Yeah, about a week.
Yep. And that first, Brenda Barry, somehow she fixed for us in Australia. We had peas and rice. We had macaroni and cheese. She gave us a Bahamian meal because we had been away from home by then, Bradley, almost a month.
Yeah.
Almost a month, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk about birthdays because how times are going. Well, we forgot to mention that Philippa Willie has been watching. And then Dave Thurston. I'm going to mention that. I said Dave Thurston. Oh, man, he went to SAC, and he tries to know everything about track and field. So Keith Parker, his birthday is today. And you don't tell people how old you are. Leave it to yourself, Sarah. Leave it to yourself, Keith.
Happy birthday to you.
That's
happy
your business.
Happy birthday to you. Yes. Happy birthday, dear Coach Parker. Happy birthday to you.
And then we have a young lady, and her name is, on the 17th, Beverly Wallace Whitfield, do you remember her?
Oh, she is the consummate. Yeah. Oh,
and just
fan.
Look at her. She wants to travel all the way, all around the world. The
absolute fan.
A young lady.
Passionate fan.
A part of a, what do you call it with the ladies now? Not a fraternity. What do you call it?
A sorority.
Yeah, sorority. Yeah. Laura is.
Delta.
AKA or Delta? She's yes. AKA or Delta?
I don't know.
Delta. Bradley says Delta.
And then. On the same day, we're talking about Austin Seeley.
Ah.
Austin is younger than her, though, I think. Yes. And then...
the founder of the Carifta Games.
Founder of the Carifta Games. And then Diane Miller. Her birthday is on the 18th. Silvert Cooper. Oh, I need to just mention something. You ever heard of me talking about Earl Clue?
Yes, yeah. Oh, well, jazz man.
Earl Clue. Born in Detroit, from Detroit. And I met somebody who went to school with Earl Clue.
Ah.
And he now lives in Atlanta. Mm. Very good. I have seen Earl Clue more than most people. Me and Arnold, when we went to the World Championships,
mm-hmm.
where we had Donald doing the jumping.
Yeah.
We were going to go to Tokyo. Nobody was going to take too much time. And that was it. So Earl Clue, I mean, whenever I have an opportunity, I go and see Earl Clue. As I say, Arnold went with us to see Earl Clue, mm-hmm. and also Harry Mannings.
Ah.
And he is an Earl Clue man also. And then Silbert Cooper. Mm-hmm. Silbert Cooper is one of the best. He is the one who inspired me to play the guitar. But guess what? I realized that I can't play the guitar.
Harry Mannings plays the guitar.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But he followed me with Earl Clue. Mm. And so what I'm saying is that Earl Clue, born in 1953, lives in Atlanta. They have a dog. I can't remember, but, you know, we had a great time to see Earl Clue. It's just unbelievable.
You have to be a fan if you remember he has a dog.
Oh, well, of course. But you see people with a dog. No, I came from what's the name of the place now? Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. They had an event in Puerto Rico outside of Puerto Rico itself, a new track.
Mm. Ponce.
Ponce. Mm-hmm. And when, I think it's Ponce, but when I found out that Earl Clue was going to be in New York, man, I jumped on, I made my reservation, and I went in there. They didn't know I was coming. And I got a CD for all of my friends who love jazz, and that is something else. Then Doug Wimbish. Doug Wimbish happens to be my nephew. He has another group now, but he is somebody who knows about the Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh.
And he came to Nassau for my 70th birthday, and he played the music. Oh, man, and there is somebody who is very good. He loves Doug. I don't know if you know this fella. You know where, as you go towards BTC, coming from, as you go, what's his name? Well, he lives in that area.
In the JFK area?
No, not in the JFK area. You know what I'm talking about. Coming from, not QC. Yeah, QC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He is right down there and on the left where the graveyard is.
Oh.
And he has this wonderful thing. And he loves he has a very beautiful wife. No, I'm serious. She's all with the Ernest Cambridge mother.
Ernie Cambridge's mother.
So what I am saying is that he loves my nephew, Doug. Unbelievable. But, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then I said, Doug has the same birthday as Patrick Trico.
Mm.
Patrick Trico has been my client forever and ever, and he is a Long Island man. But anything happening in Long Island, he's going to be there. You know how Long Island people are. And then Melissa Barnaby, she is her husband, okay,
mm-hmm.
is my mechanic.
Ah.
Is my mechanic. And we've been there a long time. And then Brenda Lee Rowe. She worked at the, what's the place down the road now? Red Cross.
Ah, on
so
JFK.
She is finished that now and enjoying herself traveling. And her mother would hang up with Adam them when they have events, and she's always there.
Okay.
And then Bridget Sands.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget Sands worked with us, and Bridget Sands' birthday would be on the 30th. You ever heard of Judith Blair, the Colors of the Bahamas?
Mm.
Timothy Blair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boston? Very smart, unbelievably smart. And then Nikki Bowe. Nikki Bowe worked at the University of the Bahamas. She worked with a number of different people, but she knows how to sing. Then Michael Adley, his birthday was just the other day, and then Barbara Cartwright. Now, a renowned coach, we all know him. The name is none other than Stephen Murray.
Oh,
you know that name?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, on Friday,
somebody was armed and attempted to get into his home. Ain't that something else? You should work. Mm-hmm. Work for your money. He was starved about his body. And fortunately, none of his vital organs were damaged.
God is good.
He is resting comfortably at Doctor's Hospital. And he is in good spirits. Now, Chauvin is one of them. Mm-hmm. So Chauvin makes it a point that please pray for quick recovery.
A quick and complete recovery.
Recovery. That's what it's all about. Is there...
I wanted to ask Bradley if we finished with the birthdays. Are we still
going? I missed them. Jed Dean is one of them. They're the Dean people with the people in Abaco.
Oh, you yes, with the mail boat and all that.
I get all my things from them. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about...
Girth and...
All of them,
God rest his soul.
So, Bernadette Barr, oh, man, she has been a client of mine. She did one thing, and she would never forget it. Chippy!
Mm.
Chippy is past, but Chippy is still here. The knife, Chippy is still here.
The legacy.
And then, you know Runny Nose?
But of course, who does not?
Well, do you know his wife, Gwendolyn?
Of course.
Out of Detroit?
Detroit.
That's what I'm talking about. Her birthday. You know somebody called Keith Saunders from Eleuther? He worked at the Ministry of Sports and Health and all of that. And he decided to go back home to... Eleuthera. To be, work with the people, you know, right here where people go up and down. Mm-hmm. What do you call it again? You take people to your home.
Oh, almost
people
like,
to people.
People to people, yeah.
That's
people.
Right, Bradley. You got it right on
yeah,
the mail.
Yeah, people to people. And then Claudette Allens. Does anybody know Claudette Allens?
Who doesn't?
Cookie.
Who does not? Yeah.
She owns the Dundas.
That's right.
She owns the Dundas. Her brother has not been doing well. He's been challenged. You know, he's one of them with the, what do you call it? When the people got shot down, the Cubans.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. On the boat?
On the boat.
Yeah.
On
the boat. HMBS yes. Flamingo.
Yes, yes. And then a client of mine, Lisa Chisholm. But that's okay. She's a client of mine. But you know somebody called, we mixed it up, Godfrey Ennis? We call him Gully.
Yeah, Gully.
Gully Ennis. On the 14th, then I have a client, Cynthia Widener. Cynthia Widener is somebody that's involved in our fraternity. And I had the opportunity, she came to Nassau. We took her to Rotary, and we were looking for Phil Galanis, but Phil Galanis was someplace else. And I took her to Frankie Wilson. So we had the opportunity of having photos with this young lady. And guess what they do? They do all of the journals that we have. And this family, they're Jewish.
Oh,
what is so interesting, somebody was talking about the Jewish people. And you know what? They like us. They went through the same kind of things that we do. Like a fellow who is in, I always see him at the Penn Relays,
mm-hmm.
and he believes in his people.
Yeah.
His people. And that's what it's all about. Any thoughts that we can just...
I wanted to take Bradley's mind back to... you know, today, Bradley, it's expensive to be in any sports at an elite level. Do you remember there was a company that you and I did an ad for, and they sponsored us? It's an insurance company.
LucasAid.
It was LucasAid, but then the other one was an insurance company. LucasAid was one. The insurance company was another one. And it was an insurance company on Rosetta Street. Called Crown
Crown Life.
And Bradley and I did an ad for them that played on the radio.
I wonder if I was aware of that.
Played on the radio for a long time.
And so much, but that's no longer. They now with Kalina.
But so much so that people always used our names in the same breath. Mm-hmm. Bradley and Chanel. You couldn't tell people that Bradley and I were not man and wife.
Oh, I see.
We got that a lot, but we were very close, the athletes of that period. We had very close relations. We were very supportive of each other. And hopefully, you know, that legacy. Well, I know it extends. I know the athletes be after us forge very strong bonds too.
Well, there's something that I missed, and that is everybody knows of Everett Bannister. His wife just passed. Bannister. Yes.
Yeah.
His wife just passed, as I see. And I would give all the condolences for that family. Doyle stayed in their house in New York. Mm. And the lady just died. Doyle said she probably is older than the Queen.
May her soul rest in peace.
In peace. And rise in glory. Thank you ever so much. And just look forward to another show. And who's on the other show?
I think you have somebody that had the 800-meter record.
Yes.
From the Baintown Flyers?
Baintown Flyers.
That's right.
And then there's somebody else for the Baintown Flyers. He will be on the show. He will be on the show next week, Tuesday. And I've forgotten to mention about the memory walk with regards to just going out walking on September the 24th. And they have a package, and you're talking about it's concerning Alzheimer's, and that is most important. Thank you ever so much. See you next week, Tuesday evening. And we're going to be excited about that.